Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to episode 321 of See You Next Wednesday, a pop culture and film podcast where a single die roll decides what movies we have to see. This episode drops late night November 14th, 2018, and my name is Dan Gorman, and you may remember me from such Fox Network specials as Alien Nose Job and 5 fabulous weeks of The Chevy Chase Show.
My name is Casey Lyons, and you know I can't eat when I'm terrified. That's why I'll never know the satisfying crunch of Count Chocula.
My name is Greg LeGros, and you're a three-decker sauerkraut and toadstool sandwich.
Yay.
With us an exhaust.
With a greasy black beard.
Yay, we have lots to talk about this week. It's almost Christmas. We'll be talking about stuff like that, I imagine.
Yeah.
We have a review of Suspiria in Film Roulette and a review of Slenderman in Film Roulette.
Yes.
We'll talk about the Punishment album by Blues Traveler. We'll roll for movies for next week. We're back, baby. And it is November. And it is Christmas on the horizon.
Yeah, there was snow today.
Oh, there was snow.
There's been snow a couple days over the past
while. I went to the kind of northernish area of Toronto and a bit beyond, and there was a fair amount of snow.
Oh, yeah, eh?
Yeah.
up north.
Yeah.
What was that what was that TV commercial where the guy punched somebody? And remember that TV show that was really Canadian? And it was like, you're down, eh? What was that thing that we used to say like over and over again?
You're done, eh? It's from, what was that Canadian TV show?
Canada Airplane.
Yeah. You're done, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, you're done, eh?
Take off.
Beauty. Beauty.
Get off my airplane, yo, Hoosier.
Beauty effects, eh?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Fucking Canada.
Casey, you said something about Christmas before the show you were going to talk about. You made a playlist, you said?
What? Oh, God. I wasn't serious. But yes, I did make a fucking great Christmas playlist that has been on at my house.
Where did you make it?
Better not be Apple Music.
Yeah, yeah. Apple Music?
No. Google Play.
Oh, the other one that no one uses. Good.
No, it's
I wouldn't want to have it shared with me.
No, you can't.
No.
I don't even think you have enjoyed this.
Yeah.
Half of this nonsense.
Yeah.
Mine's
but it's all
good.
Like, it's so good because it's all like, you know, Motown Christmas. There's a shit ton of Motown Christmas.
Oh, yeah. So good.
I don't know why anybody else tries to make Christmas music.
No, I know.
Motown artists.
Yeah, yeah. I have that Phil Spector one on vinyl.
Oh, that's a good one.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's a good one. But that one, like, I mean, you get, like, pieces of that one in every best of Christmas.
Yeah, so. Sure. Yeah. But it's great because the vinyl has a really big picture of fucked up Phil Spector in a Santa Claus costume. You know that? You know the picture that comes with it?
Yeah.
It's extra big in vinyl.
Yeah.
His eyes. Oh, he's all dead.
Yeah.
Dead inside those
well,
eyes.
You murder a bunch of people, even Christmas can't bring you back.
Yeah.
It's true.
Seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm almost ready to start watching
next
Christmas stuff.
We have already started, but we're starting with, like, the lesser ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we watched, like, the Ron Howard Grinch movie.
I've never seen it.
The Jim Carrey one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've just seen pieces of it because it's on TV a lot during Christmas.
Yeah. Fucking terrible.
I was hoping for like not as bad as you know.
Nah, it's fucking terrible. Yeah. It's as bad as you think it was, and worse.
Great cat. Well, it can't be worse than the Mike Myers Cat in the Hat. Upsetting.
I kept forgetting to talk about that. Actually, it was last winter when Walt was in the hospital and B and I were at home. I was like, let's just put this on and we'll just see. It's a fucking embarrassment.
It's hard to watch.
It's not as bad as that because Jim Carrey fits a little bit better into that sort of universe than Mike Myers, but it's a fucking load of crap. I'm starting to think maybe Ron Howard's not the great director. I just always assumed he was.
Well, you know, he peaked at Backdraft.
Yeah.
Yeah, he peaked at Backdraft. Well, we've all peaked at Backdraft.
Yeah.
Especially Donald Sutherland in that movie.
Yeah, he's got some ups and downs.
Yeah. I've been watching the normal Grinch a lot.
Yeah, Grinch. See, I'm I'm saving until the day that we put up the Christmas tree, which, by the way, next soon. Weekend.
Nice. Yeah, I'm going to put mine up, too.
We were talking about doing it this coming week,
Yeah, I bought it from Google Play on my television. And because I didn't want to have to go looking for the Grinch on YouTube all the fucking time. And
yeah, fuck that noise.
I was like, whatever. It was like $12. Like, that's fine. Now I just have
it. I'm going to watch it all the time.
I imagine Christmas will come again. And so I've never seen
it. The Grinch has anything to say about
fair
it.
Enough.
Right?
I don't know how. Over a dozen times.
Yeah.
In the last like week and change. Oh, she wants to watch it every day.
Oh, that's awesome.
But when you buy it, there's like the extra special edition of the Grinch, and I was like, "What's that mean?" Because it was like
George Lucas,
an hour and a half long.
Fucking,
I'm like, "What is the? It was like an extended mix or something, you know?" Like you really can't get down that hill.
Yeah.
But it ends. I was like, "So is this bonus material or something?" But then there's two more Grinch featurettes on it. There's the Grinch Grinches the Cat in the Hat. And
I've
then like a Halloween Grinch one.
Yeah.
What?
So yeah. So the Grinch Grinches the Cat in the Hat is like so the art of the Grinch that we all know and love is a Chuck Jones production.
Mm-hmm.
The Grinch Grinches the Cat in the Hat is a Friz Freleng.
Oh.
If anybody knows what I'm talking about, you know that there's a quality dip.
Yeah.
If you were watching Looney Tunes and it was a Friz Freleng joint, you're like, oh, the animation's going to suck and the jokes aren't no good no more.
Yeah.
I don't know what's wrong with Friz, but he does not have Chuck Jones magic. And this thing is, it's a very weird story where like the Grinch is like, he wakes up and he's happy and then he talks to himself in the mirror and his reflection's like, you're a terrible Grinch. And he's like, I got to go be awful. And so then he's driving around in the cat's car. He's having a picnic and his car's kind of in the road. And so then the Grinch decides to destroy his life.
This damn
That's pretty good.
It's
really
cat.
Weird. Yeah, it's strange. But that was the Grinch is driving a car and stuff. I'm like, that's it's like a little Michael Myers with a car thing. Like, this doesn't check out for me. It's weird that he drives.
Yeah.
It's going to, I don't know. He lives in in a cave.
But
he doesn't have an apartment.
Yeah.
And is this in the future? Like, he's cleaned his life up. He moved out of Whoville. He's
what's
listen,
going on?
I know with the Christmas thing, I should probably just move away, though.
Yeah.
I did steal it before I brought it back.
It's weird that they didn't
start over.
It's always going to be weird. I mean, you guys say you forgive me.
Yeah.
But I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now he lives in an apartment. And he's got the emotional problems.
Did you just skip the Halloween one because it's not Halloween anymore?
The Grinch Grinches the Cat in the Hat
Halloween
is so bad.
Yeah.
I can't stay focused.
That's fine.
And the Halloween one will come on, but I'm gone. Like, I'm just staring at the floor. Can't do it. I don't know what it's about.
That's amazing.
Just a sad little boy.
Yeah, it's terrible. So now I try and catch it when the real Grinch ends, and I turn it off and flip it to something else.
Yeah.
And Zoe's like, well, it's not over. I'm like, no, it's over.
It's over.
It doesn't work anymore. Yeah. It's broken. Can't watch it. It's fucking horrible.
That's amazing.
And
his voice is different. Different voiced Grinch. Nobody wants that.
No.
Boo.
You hear that? But Cumberpatch, nobody wants that.
No.
Yeah, and I feel like I have to see it. I have to see that new Grinch because it's a new Christmas movie.
Yeah.
I'll watch it on something.
Yeah. I mean, we might take them to the theater or whatever for like a Mommy and Me or something, you know. Because Walt is still too small to not scream throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right.
The stroller screenings or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the right time to start watching the movies because I burned myself out on October by starting early. So I'm like waiting for just the right time to dive in.
Yeah. Like yeah. I mean, for me, once the tree is up, all bets are off. Yeah.
And there's not as many good Christmas movies as there are Halloween movies. We've mentioned this.
Well, because Halloween movies, you can just use horror.
Horror movie. Yeah. And the Christmas stuff is pretty, and it's limited.
Yeah,
because you can't watch just any Christmas movie, because 98% of Christmas movies are fucking trash that star Scott Baio or something.
We'll get to one later when we roll the dice. Movie news and things we've been watching.
There's news.
There's some sad news that we have to say off the top. We always start with the sad. Stan Lee. This is one of those ones where is something I've been like kind of not waiting for, but like knowing is coming.
You fucking monster.
You know what I mean? Like, there's been times in my mind where I was like, he's getting up there. This is going to happen soon.
When his wife passed away.
So it wasn't so much a shock as it was just like,
But it's one of those things where it's just weird that he's not out there in the world.
Movies won't have the little
From what I understand, he filmed cameos for the next bunch.
Okay.
Oh, great. So, which is nice and everything. Yeah. When I found out, I think, Dan, you were the one who posted it, and I was like, oh, man, that really sucks. But as the day went on, more and more I found myself just becoming heavier and heavier with the news of it, and then I saw this post of like all of these different artists.
I saw that too.
The
Spider-Man embrace with him with the farewell.
And I'm on the bus looking at this thing, and I'm like, oh, great. Well, I'm crying on a bus.
Fun. Yeah, I went and I read a bunch of the Stan's soapbox,
he wrote this one about racism.
That's one of the ones I read.
I think we all stumbled.
I posted
stuff.
That one.
It's from 1968. Yeah. It was great.
Yeah,
and that was in every kid who bought a comic book that was in it.
Yeah.
It was across Marvel,
and it's like, just like, hey, you know what? Bigotry is fucking bullshit.
You're not even mad at anything real.
In case you didn't understand what all the themes are in these superhero stories, here you go.
That was my favorite thing was anytime that he would like respond to people being like, I get messages saying like, keep your message, like your politics out of these comics. And he's like, what are you doing? Like, you just like shut them down so eloquently. Like, that's what this is.
That's what you've been reading this entire time.
I love that so much.
And it's remarkable. Like, it's not just, it's difficult to process him being gone because of how much he gave. Yeah. The creation that this guy, that like 15, 20 years of just unbelievable inspiration and construction of this huge world of comics, all these fucking characters.
Yeah.
I mean, frequently he would, you know, he had a brilliant person like Jack Kirby working with him to get like the physical design down, but like coming up with the idea, the traits for these characters, how they all the juxtapositions of their personalities to their superpowers and stuff like that, like how the all the little issues with Daredevil and what makes him interesting, and the struggle of the Hulk with Bruce Banner being so super intelligent, and then the blind rage, the yin and yang, and that, and obviously Spider-Man's his maybe most perfect creation, and I think the closest to him, you know. It's remarkable. What a life. I saw one little comment about him dying, and it wasn't that, you know, Stan Lee has died. It was like, having accomplished everything that he could possibly do, Stan Lee has moved on from life after completing it. It's like, it's pretty remarkable. 95 years of nothing but just unparalleled creative success.
Like, creating so much. And, like, I mean, you know, you could say that about Walt Disney or whatever, but he was a shithead. Like, also, Stan Lee was, like, an inspirational human being.
Totally, yeah.
Like, who also made fucking everything you love.
And I love, like seeing him in stuff like Mallrats. Like, not that that's, like, making fun of him or anything, or that he had to have some, like, humor about himself, but, like, that he was also cool with, like, doing that kind of, like, charming, like, and also I'm doing this over here. Just, like, something about that just makes me happy. Like, they're like, okay, I'll be me in this movie and, like, give your main character romantic advice or whatever, like, as this, like, sage.
How cool is that,
Like, he would just show up in things and just be a kind old
man.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, so much. So sad. But at the same time, I mean, 95, he fucking did everything.
Yeah.
Lost his wife. He's like, all right, that's about it then.
Yeah. So from one of the most creative and wonderful people ever to another, I guess, Dan Aykroyd.
Dan Aykroyd is dead?
No, he's like, Ghostbusters 3?
What?
Oh. Again.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think Bill's going to do that.
Yeah. He said, I think Bill will love it. Oh, he was like, I think he'll love this.
Cocaine's a crazy drug.
Yeah. It just literally just another like news article of him being like, we're writing it. There's a possibility. You know, I think Bill will come. The story is great. You know, make more
Harold
skull
dead.
Vodka.
Too late.
Yeah. Literally, fucking Harold Ramis is dead, you idiots.
Can't do the Zaddy gun.
Yeah. So don't do it.
Like, keep the Ghostbusters Now cast.
Sure.
Just make a fucking decent
movie
out of
them. They're all fine. They just need a good story.
Yeah. Keep fucking Paul Feig out of it.
Mm-hmm.
and get somebody interesting.
Yeah. Just don't do
Let
anything,
Chris
Dan.
Let Chris Miller and Phil Lord do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Mm.
So, okay, Dan.
Yeah, not happening, buddy.
And then there was some other news based on an 80s property that I wrote down.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Dante's The Explorers.
Oh.
They are apparently there is a pilot script being written by Cary Fukunaga and David Lowery of True Detective and A Ghost Story, in that order. So they're apparently going to, I guess they've written a script and they're going to direct the pilot in hopes of that it would then turn into like an ongoing series potential, you know, and I'm like, heck yeah.
Sure. Love that movie.
It's great. And it's the kind of thing where it's just like.
Still going to be a tilt-a-whirl, right?
Yeah.
Everyone
I
still
hope
knows
so.
What a tilt-a-whirl is.
Yeah.
It's still a thing, right?
I've never seen that movie.
You haven't seen The Explorers?
It's a fun movie.
Man,
no.
It's great.
Yeah.
What is
it's
it?
Fun. Ethan Hawke and River Phoenix.
And they,
I didn't say who is it. I said, what is it?
They're like going to build like a spaceship, right?
Out of a tilt-a-whirl.
Yeah, because they.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they do it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. And then they meet some wacky aliens.
Yeah, stuff happens.
Yeah.
Really? That sounds fucking dope.
It's wicked.
It's a fun
movie.
Joe Johnston?
Joe Dante.
Yeah.
Even better.
Much better.
Yeah. So, and that's the kind of thing where it's like, that's like the right kind of property. Not because it didn't land perfectly or anything. Like, it's a great,
fun
movie.
But you can expand on that.
But you can
bunch.
Expand on it.
Totally.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit of a forgotten movie for some reason.
Well, that's what the story. Have you guys heard the story of that movie where it wasn't finished when they put it in theaters?
Oh, really?
Like, they weren't done, like, making the movie and editing the movie, and Paramount was like, it's good enough, put it in theaters.
They were just like, start it in theaters, and then when we're finished, run to the theater.
Yeah.
And Joe Dante, here's the end, here.
Yeah, and Joe Dante was like, okay. Like, it wasn't like it obviously was finished enough to be a movie, but it was like, we're still doing work on this. Yeah.
Wow. Cool.
So, I'd watch that.
Explorers. Fucking A, man.
What
totally.
The hell? What, I can't find it on thing. This says The Explorers starring Bill Peach.
What? What are you on?
IMDb.
Oh, yeah. Type in The Explorers and you'll find it.
Yeah, 1980.
Oh, thanks for the fucking tip, Dan.
85, right?
EXP.
Try typing in the words of the thing. Give that a shot.
Speaking of comic book stuff earlier, swinging back about 8 days ago, there was some news of a Swamp Thing. Have we talked about that?
I don't know. But
Swamp Thing TV series adds Andy Bean as alter ego.
Swamp Thing at some point. Who did it add?
Andy Bean, who played the adult Stan in It Chapter 2, has joined the Swamp Thing TV series cast as Swamp Thing's alter ego.
Interesting.
Derek Myers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
This is a television property?
Apparently for the DC streaming service.
Okay.
Yeah. I want Swamp Thing. I want more Swamp Thing.
Yeah, Swamp Thing's
so
cool.
I'm kind of like, I don't know much about the project otherwise other than I will take more Swamp Thing.
Yeah. I wonder if it will kind of follow the weird comedic tones of the old series that was like kind of built out of the movie franchise, or if it will take the kind of weird existential ponderings of the comic books, which got quite dark and interesting. Yeah.
How
wasn't Alan Moore involved?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
When was the last time you saw Return of the Swamp Thing?
It's been a while.
I watched it recently, and I fucking love that
movie.
Right
on, yeah.
It is great.
Yeah.
I like it way more than Wes Craven's Swamp Thing.
I'll have to watch again. It's Wes Craven's is a little wackadoo.
It's
like two different movies.
Yeah. I found Return of the Swamp Thing the wackadoo that I needed.
Yeah.
It was just
fine.
Like goofy
fun.
Well,
it's the same guy, Dick, what's his face?
Yeah.
You know, Dick what's his
yeah,
face?
You know.
Dick face. Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm loading the page and it's a good time for it to say, I don't remember.
Dick Durock. Yeah. He's great.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, he's awesome.
The second one's a lot of fun.
Nice.
Other news.
Yeah.
Was there anything you guys had?
Is that Star Wars stuff?
Oh, what was that?
There's Star Wars stuff.
Yeah.
What was the Star Wars stuff?
They cast their lead for
Mandalorian. Yes, and I fucking love it because I love this guy.
Yeah. I'm just forgetting his name.
Pedro.
Mm-hmm. Hold on, it's coming.
Pedro. I was trying to say Pena,
Pedro Pascal.
Game
of Thrones. Okay.
I don't know any fucking
Narcos,
shit about that, but he's fucking badass in Narcos.
He's. I know you guys don't watch Game of Thrones and never will, but he's not in it a lot, but he's like fairly prominent in one season, and he is fucking amazing in it.
Yeah.
It was wild.
He's super.
His arc in that
Narcos
show was fucking nuts. Yeah. It was very good. It ended bananas.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, he was somebody where I was like, I Boyd Holbrook, I was like, I could take or leave this guy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was like, that guy is fucking badass.
I like Boyd Holbrook. I think he's pretty good.
He's fine. If he never showed up again, I'd be like, that's fine.
Sure.
Pedro Pascal, I'm like,
but
yeah
no,
that
that's
guy's
that's inspired.
Right.
He's a strong performer.
Yeah. I also just
Who else is fucking not rumored to be?
I was about to say, is this the newest of the news?
Wait, well, it depends on what we're talking
about.
Is
this the Huey of the news?
No, I just saw in the app that I used 4 hours ago, Star Wars, the Mandalorian series adds Gina Carano of Fast and Furious 6, Haywire, Deadpool.
Oh, cool.
The MMA fighter, she's in Deadpool, Fast and Furious 6, Haywire. You'd know her if you saw her in those movies.
I have no idea who that person is.
Really?
Well, she was the main actress in Haywire.
Haywire was
Haywire
pretty good.
A cool movie.
What's Haywire?
It's the Soderbergh movie. It's like a kind of an action movie, but it's a weird movie, but it's a really entertaining movie.
Yeah.
Cool.
I like it quite a bit. Yeah, that's
it's
cool.
It's a spy punching fucking, but a little bit more going on.
But with like a confusing plot.
Yeah. Soderbergh.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I was talking about there is also another new Star Wars show.
Oh, yeah?
That is a sequel?
A secret sequel. Sequel.
It's a secret sequel. A sequel. Don't tell. It is a sequel to the prequel Rogue One.
Oh.
Mm.
It's a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Siegfried.
What's his face is in it, right?
Yeah. Diego Luna, who is the fucking most boring Star Wars character, perhaps, of all time.
Fair enough.
I don't know.
If you feel that way.
I think he's so fucking boring. I'm like, this guy's... And I've liked Diego Luna in other things, but I'm like, it's like his whole intention was to be the most boring. And I'm like, okay, that's whatever. It's going to be on Disney Plus or whatever.
Yeah.
Which, you know, obviously we're all going to fucking get Disney Plus.
Assuming we can get it in Canada.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of Disney Canadian content.
Yeah. I will burn this country.
Yeah,
to the
ground. That's going
to
be a shit show, man. I bet you we don't get it. I bet it's going to be a fucking Hulu.
I can see that.
It's going to be a Hulu situation.
Well, that's fine. I'll get a VPN.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's more easily done now, I find.
Yeah.
I've heard.
Yeah. So, you know, it's probably going to be another $10 million an episode thing.
Yeah.
Because
they're really fucking loading up on shit that forces you to get Disney+.
Mm-hmm.
And the only bright spot for me, or, you know, it's a Star Wars thing, so. Of course I'll watch it. but it's bound to feature the origin story of K2SO, which is one of my favorite new Star Wars characters. Mm,
for sure. It's so good.
Yeah, mm. Super into it.
Nice. Huh?
It's not like Alan Tudyk's not going to do it, right?
Yeah. Awesome.
Neat stuff.
Star Wars.
Neato. Yeah.
Was there any other news, or do you guys want to talk about things you've been watching?
Let's talk about things we've been watching. It's been a while. I feel like there's probably stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you do any wrap-up on Halloween?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Well, here's what happened. My Halloween watching suddenly became dominated by Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was watching that every night, trying to finish it before Halloween, and I was all wrapped up in it, and then I finished watching it. Have you guys watched all of it?
I'm done now, yes.
You're, Dan?
Yeah.
All right. I was super into it, and then the last episode, I just fucking hated so much. I was like, you took my Halloween from me, you fucking show!
I didn't hate it.
Yeah, I didn't lie. Ugh,
that ending?
Yeah, I wasn't big on the ending.
Off. Yeah. No explanation. No, what was the house? I don't even know. And it turned into This Is Us at the end. This fucking dumbass family fucking garbage. I was willing to look over all the bad CGI fucking nonsense and how things didn't make sense. And then you fucking don't clear the landing like this. Fuck you.
I didn't really hate it. I was just like, okay, this is what we're doing. Maybe it's nice and everything.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
I was like,
wait, what?
Yeah. Wait, is that guy, is the dad dead?
I don't know. What was going on?
Why did he take a pill?
What did the house really want? Just to kill him and
just fuck with some people, I guess.
Yeah. And now they can just hang out there?
No, just stay. That's all I wanted in the house.
I found it
so
was...
So many rooms. I'm just lonely. Hey, guys, you gotta come back to your house.
I feel like...
This very tall man. Who was he? That was a weird explanation. It's like, oh, he was such a little man in real life that in death he was a very tall man.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
But you know what? Like, everything surrounding it, the whole story and everything, whatever. That show scared me to fucking
that
death
show
on a
scare
regular
me.
Basis.
Amazing.
A regular basis. When the two sisters, all of whom looked identical, by the way. That was very confusing for a long time. When they're driving to Hill House
and they're having a whole conversation,
the thing happens, I shat my pants.
Yeah, there were some good moments.
There was a lot of great moments, but it's like, without an ending, it I spent so much time watching it, and all this other Halloween stuff I wanted to watch. I didn't watch any of it, and now it's fucking November.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's just like the ending was...
Yeah.
I guess I just felt like... Yeah, I don't know. It was a haunted house.
Yeah, I guess. You
know? Like, that was all... I guess that's all explanation
there was a lot of
I needed.
The bent neck lady episode was so great.
Yeah.
And
that was
I
good.
Thought the performances in general were pretty darn good.
The funeral episode?
Yeah, yeah. Great.
Was fucking bananas.
See, I liked it, but I didn't love it. I was just kind of like, oh, okay, you're doing this, and... It's pretty good, I guess. I don't know. I just didn't knock me out. I felt like the way, but I also knew that it was like that kind of episode. So I was like, I guess, like expecting the knockout. And then when it didn't knock me out, I was like, what? That's it? You know what I mean?
Like when the camera, like you see the first shot and it goes on for a while and you don't think anything of it. But as soon as it follows someone, you're like, oh, we're going to be, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
And I thought it was done to great effect.
It was a good episode. Yeah. I really thought the episode with the explanation of like the gloves and her backstory about like that stuff was like the episode for me.
Yeah.
And then I felt like from there, the season was very up and down. I feel like all these Netflix shows that I've been watching, because I watched the whole series of Sabrina as well, I just feel like a lot of them have these like really great highs and then they're being stretched out. Like a lot of these Netflix shows just feel
that's
like
the problem with like the Marvel Netflix stuff too, like Daredevil and Jessica Jones in particular. The first season was like, there's a really good 8 episodes in there, sorry that we made 12,
you know? I just find that a lot of those shows, they just... Like, this show in particular, there was a couple, like, stretches of episodes where I just thought, oh, I've like totally disconnected and now I'm just waiting for the jumps, and then another episode will come and be like, oh, now I'm back in on the drama.
I don't think I ever really found that. I never found myself disconnecting completely.
There no, were, like, I just was so bummed out by the end, that's all, that it kind of tainted a lot for me.
That's fair. I think that's fair.
I think I was just, I was all right with it because I was like, well, they got to end it some way. Apparently there was a much darker ending that Mike Flanagan had intended. I
maybe it would have been better.
Preferred that probably. A little happy fucking family ending. Ugh, boring. But yeah, I mean, other
families aren't happy.
Fucking idiot. But yeah, I don't know. I thought there was a lot to like and a lot of good performances and a couple of like super stellar episodes. Yeah, you know, I was happy to see Henry Thomas getting work, and I thought he was really good in it.
He was fucking great.
Yeah,
you know who was fucking great was Annabeth Gish and the guy who played her husband.
Yeah, yeah.
He has like this. Remember the monologue about the baby?
Yeah.
That he has, like, that's all one shot. So he did this whole fucking thing. I was like, holy shit. That guy just fucking acted.
Yeah. And that one of the house people, the old timey kind of.
Yeah, that lost
girl,
me a little bit.
Her, she has one monologue where she was talking about having her dreams when you kind of first meet her that I was like, holy smokes.
That was scary.
Yeah.
That was scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of great moments.
Yeah,
but but the ending really left me.
Yeah,
annoyed.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah,
I agree.
But it's worth your time. I mean, as far as a fucking horror TV show goes,
pretty
all right.
Definitely one of the strongest horror television shows I've seen.
Yeah.
So Haunting of Hill House, that's on Netflix. I will really quickly say I've been watching the Netflix series called Hip Hop Evolution.
Oh yeah.
It's, I've been meaning to hosted by Shad. It's a, I believe it's a Canadian production. Or maybe it's just an American thing and Shad is hosting it. I don't know, but it seemed like to me like it was maybe a Canadian thing.
Do they talk exclusively about Maestro Fresh West?
No, it's all about American hip hop. I'll say it definitely starts with, like, you know, the story of hip hop is something that's been covered in a lot of documentaries, even documentaries not necessarily about it, like Rebel Kings and stuff about the gangs that kind of lead into the hip hop stuff. I've just seen a lot of that, like the golden, you know, like beginnings of hip hop in documentaries. But this show strikes a really good balance of like stuff that as somebody who's interested in hip hop, I know, and stuff that like I didn't know. Mm-hmm. So like it's, I would say even if you're like a person who loves hip hop and knows a lot about hip hop, you'll still like watching this show and seeing it in everybody's own words. And there's a lot of great interviews and there was a lot of people that popped up where I was like, oh, sweet. I'm glad they like talked to them. And there's technically two seasons. I think it's like four episodes a season though. And they're both on Netflix and like they get into episodes about like, you know, the Southern hip hop and they get into episodes about like the women of the native tongues and stuff.
Oh,
so it's worth a watch and it just made me want to do nothing
but
listen.
The women of the native tongue specifically?
Well, not a whole episode, but they do talk a bunch about like Queen Latifah had that song Ladies First with Moni Love and about like what they were going for. And so there's definitely a stretch where after the first like four or five episodes, I was actually thinking like, when are we going to get more of like the women of hip hop? Because it's a lot of dudes here. And then I was like, oh, sweet. They got to it.
Yeah.
It's a good show.
Cool.
Yeah. It's worth watching.
I'll do it.
Hip Hop Evolution. What else have you guys been watching?
I'll try and cover some ground real quick. Cause there's a bunch of stuff on my list.
Yeah.
So as far as TV stuff goes, Making a Murderer season 2.
Oh yeah,
watched all of that.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I mean I really enjoyed most of the first season.
Yeah.
But I was like, why do I want to watch this?
Oh,
why do I want to watch season 2?
Because you should.
Is it really? Something.
Boy. Yeah, some things happen.
Because it's about Brendan Dassey. Like it's about getting Brendan Dassey.
It's about both of them. Still.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah. And it's fucking fascinating. And what's really fascinating is Stephen Avery's new lawyer.
She's cool. Yeah,
fucking awesome. I love her. She's like fucking crazy smart, and she's just tearing the whole thing apart. She's like, "This is fucked. This is fucked. This is fucked." Shows you how the first trial should have gone. What his defense should have done. You're like, "Oh, you're very intelligent. So much smarter than other lawyers." But it's wild, and all this stuff, like all these pieces, start like it's. with the, you know, some doubts I might have had after season one, or season two, I'm like, nope, get those guys out of there because this is fucked. Yeah, it's really worth a watch. It's great. I loved it, and she's the show. She's very good. I watched a bit of a sitcom that I don't even know if it's still going, but I watched a little bit of a show called Great News.
Is that the one with Andrea Martin?
That's the one.
I watched episode one of that.
Yeah.
It's great.
Fucking Andrea Martin. Awesome,
man. Like, she's like 99% of the show.
Yeah.
It's by, why can't I remember her name? It's by somebody who has written on great shows like Kimmy Schmidt and 30 Rock and stuff.
Right.
I can't remember her name.
Yeah, it has a very 30 Rocky vibe.
Yeah.
I thought really good, and I will definitely watch it. More. I also watched something that Casey had recommended that I've been meaning to get around to, and I finally got around to. I've been watching Detroiters.
Nice. Oh, so good.
Season one?
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. What do you think of that show?
Whoa.
It's the best.
It is. I think it might be in my top 10 favorite shows of all time.
It's immediately good.
Yeah.
And it's immediately as good as it can be, and then it gets better somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that show.
Boy, is that good. They have wonderful chemistry, those two.
I am in love with their friendship.
It's such a good gag show, too. So many good gags.
Yeah, great setup. There's a lot of like just dumb here, but it's a great mixture of stupid and smart.
Yeah.
Really, really nice. Just terrific. Like, I was just so pleased with how fucking funny it is.
That show, like, like, I'm in love with that show because of how sweet it is. Like, it's such a sweet show. Their relationship is so sweet. And, like, his relationship, Tim's relationship with his wife, and who is Sam's sister, who he hates. But there's still, like, there's this weird, I don't know, something about it just hits me on an emotional level. I absolutely love that show.
Yeah, it's great.
It's also because I think Sam Richardson is one of the funniest people on television right now.
Yeah, super good.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
So Making a Murderer 2 and Great News and Detroiters. Yeah. I got to watch Great News from the sounds
of it. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as good as Kimmy Schmidt or anything. It's just, I guess it's, for me, it's also just like wonderful to see Andrew Martin.
Yeah, totally.
I love her so much.
Yeah.
Emma's been watching a lot of Life in Pieces because the third season went up on Netflix. Show. And so I've been catching episodes of that, and I still find that a very funny and charming little show.
I love that show.
Like, I don't love it, but any time that she's watching it and I'm there, I'm laughing. So
it should be.
That's all it really
should be terrible.
Yeah.
Because, it's
sitcom-y as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, the jokes. There's definitely some jokes that are groaners.
Like, you're doing what?
Yeah.
But somehow they do that so fucking well. And also,
it's funny.
James Brolin is And Diane Wiest are the funniest things about that show.
Yeah. Like Detroiters is sweet, and there's an element to that where even the episodes that I don't find like hilarious or whatever, just like the cuteness of the show, there's like a real kind of cuteness to it where you're like, I can't get mad at this.
Yeah.
Like, it's a little funny show, and it's charming. And
that's like the thing. Even the misses are still like, God bless you.
You're a sitcom. Yeah. it's worth a watch.
Oh, I love it. That's
another show where once in a while they'll throw a gag in, and you'll be like, damn, that's a good gag.
There's some really genuine, and Dan Bacadall is fucking fantastic on that show.
I forgot to write something down from one of the episodes in season three, and then I tried to like find quotes online, and like nobody's saved the quotes from that show online at all, but I was like, damn, I should have written that down.
I think I've had a couple quotes from that show. It's great.
Casey,
it's great.
Anything else you've been watching?
Yes. Yes. My wife and I went had a date the other day. We went out to the movie theater.
Ooh.
We saw a movie called Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh. Yes. We're going to get some feedback about this. Yeah.
Well, all the critic stuff and people who like know anything about Queen are like, bullshit, lies, and blark, frark. And then people who are like, I don't care, I had fun.
Yeah.
There's a big like divide of everyone I know on Facebook who saw it loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And all the reviewers are like, nope. What's up?
Okay.
You're a big Queen fan.
Casey?
I'm a big Queen fan. Yeah. Brian May is probably one of my favorite guitarists, and Brian May's guitar is one of my favorite guitars.
Nice.
And factual inaccuracy. Quite likely, it's a rock and roll biopic.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to make it more exciting than a rock and roll career generally is.
And it's they're for, like, huge nerds.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, you have to make them into rock stars for the movies.
Yeah. So, long story short, is I fell in love with this movie.
Wow. It's, and you don't like this kind of movie.
I do.
You
not.
Don't like actors being rock stars.
I went in. I went in. I went in actively excited to hate this fucking movie, but it's fucking wonderful. And you know, the guy who plays Brian May doesn't try to do too much. All he does is look a lot like Brian May.
Yeah. They were all on The View, and they were showing the photos side by side. And I was like, that guy looks a lot like Brian May.
It's crazy. They give the guy playing Roger Taylor and obviously Rami Malek the most heavy lifting. So this movie lives and dies by Rami Malek. Rami Malek. His performance, and it is fucking flawless.
Nice.
It's fucking crazy how good it is.
Uh-huh. What's going on with the vocals? Does he, do you know?
Well, it's a bit of an amalgam between, there's a lot of album cuts. They use a lot of album cuts, and you know what? You're like, good. Like when they show them in the studio recording, you're like, well, use the album cut because this is them recording that song.
Yeah.
So they use a lot of that. They use a little bit of Rami Malek. He'll be doing a little vocal run or something.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, well, that's him. And he did a hell of a job learning how to sing, just enough. And then there's this other fella that I guess they found on YouTube or something. I don't know who this guy is or anything, but, apparently he sounds phenomenally like Freddie Mercury. Mm. So they blended in enough that you're like, it fucking totally works.
Huh. Nice.
It's, oh my God, it's heartbreaking. And it ends with Live Aid. Like, it doesn't...
Yeah. Cool.
It doesn't end, you know, like, with everybody standing around, you know, Freddie's grave and being like... I mean, it addresses...
No, because that's the moment, right? Mm-hmm. Live Aid, I mean, when he just takes control of Wimbledon.
Yeah.
It's one of the craziest things ever.
Yeah. And it feels like you're there. Like, it doesn't feel like actors... acting like rock stars, which grosses me all the way out the door. It's so wonderful. Like, and I almost feel like you have to see it in the theater because, like, it's about Queen and they're like this larger than life band. I feel like I'm overselling it, and yet at the same time, I had such a visceral emotional reaction.
Yeah, well,
to
you're
this
not
movie.
The only person. Yeah, it's like a lot of people who wanted, like, I wanted the dark fucking whatever real story, or like the boring nerd part of Queen. I don't know.
And the thing that I find perplexing is that a lot of people, a lot of the complaints I've heard are that, oh, they don't even talk at all about his sexuality. That is 90% of the movie. Like they talk about his, you know, love affair and eventual marriage with his wife.
Yeah.
And then how that falls apart as he learns more and more that he's a gay man.
Yeah.
And his sort of struggle to admit that. They don't go too much into it because the story's about a band, not about a man learning that he's gay.
Right.
But that is so much a part of him as a performer.
Right.
And how his stuff became overtly, like a little bit more overtly homosexual, or his sort of persona and everything, and how he fought against that and everything. Mm-hmm. There's enough in there that you wouldn't be like, oh, this is a movie. Like, why didn't they make a movie with the band?
They've glossed over it or whatever.
Yeah. I don't understand that at all. But
interesting.
Oh, well, that's cool. Yeah, I want to see.
I'll watch that for sure.
Yeah, man. I really loved it, and I didn't want to for a number of reasons. One of which being it's directed by Bryan Singer, and Bryan Singer's a fucking creep.
Fuck, I forgot that he did.
Although, you know how much of it was directed by Bryan Singer, somebody who apparently just never showed up on set.
Yeah, right.
I don't fucking know.
Yeah,
and it doesn't feel like a particularly well directed movie. although it hits all the emotionally manipulative buttons, but the buttons that you want it to hit, like it really does go from A to B. Like it really goes, hey, here's this, you know, big mouth little guy who, you know, wanted to be a rock star. So he finds a band and then now they're a band and then now they're signed and then now they're huge. Like it just goes, but it does it. So it does it so magically. And again, Rami Malek, I assume will be nominated, and if not, should be, even though the Oscars are fucking bullshit. Yeah, man. Holy shit.
Cool.
My one problem with it that just totally grossed me out was that Mike Myers is in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
And he's actually great. He plays...
I heard about this, though.
He plays this fake A&R guy, an amalgam of a bunch of people. And he has a line.
I've heard of this line already.
It will just make your spine fucking pop out of your body.
Let's just say it's a reference to a movie he made that may or may not feature Queen.
Yeah. Mm. It's fucking gross. And it's in the trailer, or it's been like in clips and stuff like that. So, basically, Mike Myers plays this A&R guy who, you know, pushes back against Queen and says, this isn't the kind of song. No kids are going to sit in their car and bang their heads to this.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, you wink at the camera, you asshole.
And then they put a clip of that movie in.
And then the rest of the movie is Wayne's World.
Yeah.
They just show that. Yeah. But man, I've gone on and on about it. But boy.
Well, sweet. You know what? Maybe stick it in there because like, that scene in Wayne's World, it completely blew Queen up for another generation.
They hit the charts again.
Yeah. It was crazy.
But... if you're going to make reference to it, just go, years later, Queen, people liked Queen again.
There's a way of doing it that isn't gross.
Yeah.
And it really was. Like, and the thing is, up to that point, I thought Mike Myers was really wonderful in this movie as the heavy who nobody likes or respects.
Yeah, but I'm waiting for him to, like, I feel like he was in that Terminal movie as, like, a side character, and he's in this. I'm kind of waiting for, like, him to pop back up in these kind of roles that he can be really good in.
What's the Terminal movie?
It's the movie with Margot Robbie, and apparently it's not very good at all. It's, like, a weird, like, high concept.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Sci-fi kind of weird
apparently
movie.
Apparently he was great in 54, which I never saw.
He was.
Yeah.
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 And I also thoroughly enjoyed him in Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he'll never not be doing... and in this movie, he's definitely doing a Scottish accent.
Great. Yeah, that's fine.
And yeah, he does tell Queen to get in his belly.
So he just brought all of his shtick from...
just the whole thing.
Also, I'm the love guru.
And then he was like, Austin Powers 2.
Horny, shag, etc.
So on.
Nice. Bohemian Rhapsody, then. I'm going to have to check it out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, can I jump in with something that kind of fits then? I did do something that kind of wrapped up my Halloween season nicely at the end of October. I went and saw Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds.
Oh, my God. Oh. My friend was at that show, and it sounds like it was amazing.
It was, without being too hyperbolic, it was one of the five best concerts I've ever seen in my life.
He sent me some little video clips from his phone, and it seemed like the best concert I've ever been to.
Yeah, it was and it was immediately overwhelming.
Yeah.
He's a performer unlike anything I've ever been up close to. It was fucking nuts. And talking about Freddie Mercury owning Wembley like that, and just being in control of an audience. Doing it his own way. And I've rarely seen that kind of charisma and back and forth communication with the audience that he was very tactile with. And we were sitting up in the we didn't do the floors, we wanted to sit because we were old.
So
we were in the 100s, so we had really good seats, and on the second song he climbed all the way out there and was like face to face with someone finishing the song. And so it was intimate and intimidating, and then it's over and he's like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing up here. We've been on tour for like 2 years, and this is the last show. So, I don't know.
That's amazing.
Yeah, really? Which was nuts. So, there was a different energy to it. But he was so, it was like this ebb and flow of like into the audience and like, and
that's amazing.
Spanned the catalog of like out of control to tender beauty. And there was this strange wit and intimacy and over the top theatrical like I've never seen.
Yeah.
Like, if you have never been to it, you don't have to know a song. If you next time he comes, you go.
Yeah.
It is it's a unique experience but everyone should go and have.
Also, listen to his song.
Yeah, you should do that. Yeah. He's very good at that.
Yeah.
But it was fucking insane. I was shook from it for a few days. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unfucking believable.
He strikes me as somebody who would be that live. And also, I've seen a couple of pictures of him online recently. Looks good.
Yeah.
He looks really good for his
age.
Well,
you know, and it's pretty remarkable what has gone on in his personal life over the last few years, that he's maintained his sobriety, which was a quite elusive thing for him for a long time.
Yeah.
But, you know, lose a bandmate, lose his son. And he's held on to his sobriety and he's just, like, become... I don't know. He's probably in his peak PowerPoint of being a performer at this point, you know?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Like nothing I've ever seen.
So good.
When he comes, when he tours next, don't fuck around.
Yeah.
Go
I should have went.
I'm not. Yeah, you should have. I watched and I was like, what have I been doing with my time?
Yeah.
Not going to Nick Cave concerts all this fucking time. Dummy.
Anything else before Film Roulette?
Yeah, one more. I got something else. Am I talking too much?
No.
What are you, high?
I don't know.
Am I talking too much?
Oh, God.
Do I sound sober? If I call my mom right now, will she know?
How long have I been talking for?
Here, I'll practice. Hey, Mom, it's me.
Oh,
hey,
God.
Mom, it's me, your son.
Oh, what am I doing? Oh, nothing.
I saw a spy.
Can you guys
who
feel my feet?
What? Yeah, this is The Spy Who Dumped Me. I watched that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of want to see that.
I love Kate McKinnon, so I'll watch.
It was fine.
Yeah.
It was like not a good movie, but they're good in it.
Yeah. That's what it seemed like.
So, yeah. I laughed at a bunch of dumb little things in it, and Kate McKinnon. It was the thing that we talk about where we criticize a lot of movies where they keep taking Kate McKinnon and just like, okay, make this scene funny for us, Kate. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
But she's just like, she.
Okay.
She does. No problem.
She then does every time.
So this it works out fairly well most of the time in this one because she does a lot of. Really weird stuff.
Nice.
That's my favorite Kate McKinnon, when she's a fucking weirdo.
Yeah. There's a couple of very good lines. So it's a bad movie with good funny stuff in it.
The trailer seemed pretty.
I quite liked the trailer. And I was kind of keyed up for it. And yeah, Mila Kunis is great. She they have really good chemistry, the two of them. It's worth a watch. I did laugh a lot. Just don't worry about the plot being important for anything. Because it's dumb and who cares. But you know what? I give it a lot of credit for is a couple of the action sequences are fucking terrific.
Oh, good.
There's a car chase scene that has a stunt with a dude on a motorcycle.
Sweet.
That I saw that scene twice and both times went, wow.
I'm in.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
Stuntman.
Nice.
Very good. There's very good motorcycle stunt. But yeah, it's totally worth your time. It's very funny.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right, then, should we do Film Roulette?
Let's go.
Film Roulette is our segment where the three of us roll a die and the two high rollers get to go see something good. This week we chose the Suspiria remake. If you roll the low number on the die, you have to see something terrible. This week, we picked Slender Man. and
paid money for that movie.
What?
And
I had to. It wasn't anywhere.
The low roller gets to give the winners an album to listen to for the rest of the week. We will talk about those movies, talk about an album, and then we will roll for next week.
Mm.
Suspiria. This is the remake of the Dario Argento film from the director of Call Me By Your Name, starring Dakota Johnson, Tilda Swinton, Mia Goth, and many others. And the description here is: a young ballet dancer travels to a prestigious dance academy in Europe, only to discover it is a front for something far more sinister and supernatural amidst a series of increasingly grisly murders. The ratings on Letterboxd, 3.8 out of 5, skewed pretty heavily towards the top. Been waiting for this movie, been excited about it. I thought the choice of director was a really cool, interesting choice. I was glad that they were leaning away from the Argento look and feel with the trailer. And so I was kind of on board for seeing this.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't too excited about that it's over 2.5 hours long.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. But went out to the theater and saw it.
Yeah. I did not.
Yeah?
I did, tried to go see this. It didn't work out. I watched something else.
Okay.
But
that's fair then.
That 2.5 hour runtime messed up shit with my babysitting.
It's a fucking long movie.
I watched something else in place of it.
That's fair.
Yeah. I've been hearing good things from people who are in the know about Argento and proper horror, so I'm very curious to hear.
Well, I love Suspiria, the first.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I love it
One
so
of the
much.
Best ever.
And I've been meaning to revisit it after seeing this one, or I kind of wanted to see it before, too. Mm-hmm. I watched it last year.
I decided not to do that. I felt like I'd be doing myself a disservice by revisiting.
Yeah, I kind of decided not to, and then now I've been meaning to revisit it.
Yeah.
So the remake, or sort of companion piece, as you might want to call it, it definitely leans away from a lot about the original. So it takes place in the year that the original came out, so I think it's like 77 or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. In Berlin, there's a lot of background of political strife and things going on there. And again, totally leans away from the stylistic elements of the first movie, which if sometimes people who criticize Suspiria will say like it's a really like, you know, doesn't make a lot of sense and it's kind of outrageous and like skirts on being a really heavily stylized movie on outside of like making sense and stuff, which is fine, but I'm like, but what style? It's fucking gorgeous. Like the movie could be about anything if it looked that good for me. Like, but I also think it's a great movie, but I understand that. And I thought it was cool that they leaned away from that. I liked that they were going for like a textured kind of, you know, drab, rainy Berlin kind of look to this movie. That said, this is the kind of movie that makes me hate having to try to talk about movies. Because I walked out of this movie just a buzz of conflicting emotions. Mm-hmm. There were things that I really liked about it. There were things I didn't like about it. I have no idea really how I came down on this movie in terms of like, great or no, bad. It was a lot of both.
Right.
I feel like it maybe bites off more than it can chew in terms of what it's trying to get at thematically. It's a dense movie. And I just found that by the end of Suspiria 2018, it didn't, the density and all the things that it was about don't like wrap up. I found that like all of a sudden at the end of the movie, I was like, oh, you're trying to end it like this now, I guess. Like, okay. And I just felt like there were scenes that were so intense and great. Like the scene that you'll have heard about, or the scenes that people are talking about where they say, you know, it becomes a very physical and grotesque, you know, there before the movie came out, they showed a screening of a scene where like somebody's dancing in one room and somebody's reacting in another room and getting murdered by kind of like the dance. And that whole sequence is like so grotesque and so like body horror fucked up, like it's really intense and really effective. But then there was other things that just didn't really work for me. I thought the idea of like Tilda Swinton playing multiple characters is like, okay, you can do that. It felt very like I'm just gonna do that because I can. It didn't feel like she plays this like investigator psychologist guy who's like kind of investigating the goings-ons after one of his patients disappears, who was somebody that was maybe being groomed at the academy and didn't live up to expectations to the witches. And it's kind of like there were moments where the prosthetic effects for Tilda in that role were amazing. There were some scenes where I was like, that's just her.
But it didn't really like tie deeply into the story, like Nutty Professor 2, the clumps.
Yeah, I know. Well, there was at times where like I've heard people say, you know, it adds like an air of like femininity to the thing because there's not a lot of men in it, and that's kind of like what the movie's about. Mm-hmm. And so I get that, but it just didn't seem like, I was just kind of like, okay, it always took me out. Yeah. I every time she spoke as that character, it was just Tilda Swinton's voice.
Right.
And sometimes the prosthetics were so good, I was like, wow, that actually really is amazing, and I didn't even realize it in like the visuals of the scene. Yeah. But then she would say something and I'd be like, oh yeah, it's just Tilda Swinton.
Right. That can be distracting.
It was very distracting.
At the prosthetics.
But it's a good performance. That's what is so frustrating to me about this movie is that there's things that I liked and disliked in the same thing. Like I liked that performance, disliked, you know, the choice sometimes, but other times I liked it. The one thing I will say that I actually really dug about this movie was they don't shroud the Dance Academy in mystery. We get a lot of stuff with the witches just like making decisions and sitting around or like reading the newspaper and talking about like the witch stuff that they're doing that day. And like there's a scene where they have to like vote who's going to be in charge. And I just really like that it wasn't like secret. I like that it was like, yeah, also this is going on and they have to deal with their witch relationships and like the logistics of running a witchy academy. And I was like, I actually really liked that stuff.
Whose day is it to take out the witch garbage?
Yeah. Like I really dug that stuff. There's kind of a moment in the movie where it seems like they're going to do kind of a switcheroo on the main character, or like who the main character is. And I was so ready to go on that ride, and then it like leans back away from that. And I felt like it was such a missed opportunity because there's the main character of Susie, and then there is some other... Who is the other character? Because Dakota Johnson's Susie and Mia Goth is Sarah. And so like Sarah, Mia Goth is a person who's been there previously, and Susie Dakota Johnson is the person coming and arriving and realizing there's weird things going on. And there's a point in the movie where it's like, oh, I think Dakota Johnson is too far gone now into the witch, you know, cult, and is maybe like not herself anymore. And now now it's going to be about her, and it's going to be about Mia Goth, Sarah. Now it feels like the movie's going to take a turn and be like, now it's about her realizing, oh shit, my friend is too far gone and has made some kind of deal with them maybe, and like our relationship has changed, and I'm gonna see the rest of the movie from her perspective. And I was like, awesome. And then it's like, ah, never mind. And I was like, oh well, fuck, that was like that. Yeah, because the Sarah character meets with Tilda Swinton as the psychologist character, and she's like, no, it's just a dance academy. And he's like, something's going on here. And so it was like leading into this interesting area where the person who was defending is now like realizing something's awry. And I felt like it was going to be really interesting, and then it wasn't. And I was like, damn it.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, it gets to a freak out at the end, and it's fine, I guess. It's just really freaky, and I don't know. I left disappointed, and I felt like some of the editing I really didn't like. It took me a good half an hour to settle into this movie. Like the first few scenes, I was like, I do not like the editing that you're doing here. I do not like the texture. It's very jazzy editing. I just didn't feel like it. It felt like the movie was trying to force the vibe of some of the performances on me instead of just allowing me to watch the performance. Because there's a scene at the beginning of the movie with what's her name, Chloe Grace Moretz, and she's very like erratic and freaking out, and I felt like the movie was like forcing the erratic nature of that performance instead of me just like watching her be erratic. And I was like, man, just fucking like let me soak this in. I just want to like experience it. Don't like shove it down my throat. And so it really took me a fucking half hour of this like 2.5 hour movie to finally be like, okay, I've like acclimated to the movie now.
Right.
And that's a fucking problem for me. And I just wish there was more of a through line with that main character. I felt like there were some interesting choices that could have been made. It's not bad, but it at times definitely felt like a bit of a chore by the end of it. I definitely recommend it.
Yeah, no, I'm going to watch it. Yeah. I definitely need to see it.
And I don't think it's
bad.
Years
from now, I'll probably watch it, you know, when I have 2.5 hours to to waste on a movie that's not that great.
Yeah, like I said, the stuff with the behind the scenes of the witches and all that like is really cool, and I like that they focused heavily on that. I just felt like when it was all said and done, I was like, whoa, you really like went too dense, too all over the place. It never really fully wraps up. Like, I felt like it all of a sudden, it does that thing where like, oh, every once in a while you'll hear the political stuff over the radio or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I felt like all of a sudden at the end of the movie, when they kind of start tackling the political stuff, I was like, okay, I guess like you did show me that stuff over the radio and now you're about that. But I just felt like, it just felt very like, I don't know, it just didn't land for me. It just didn't feel like it had like properly set itself up for that. I don't know.
Right.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I would be interested in more takes on it, though.
I'm going to see it.
I feel like I'll get around
I'll chime in.
Yeah. So frustrating, partially disappointed, but also partially enjoyed a lot of it. So it was very like, I came out of it like, I don't know what to say with this. I liked and hated it. I don't know. So, yeah. Suspiria, 2018. Divisive movie.
Yeah.
Greg, what did you watch?
Well, I went in on a abandoned dice roll winner.
Oh, yeah?
I caught up with The Predator.
Oh, nice.
Super curious to see it. So, yeah. Shane Black, Fred Decker, interesting cast. Can they make this franchise good still?
Bit of a troubling production.
Yeah, there's
from
that.
From what I heard.
Yeah, there are definitely stuff there. Yeah, I'll be brief.
Yeah.
It isn't good.
Okay.
It's I was on board for a while.
Yeah.
I was watching it with Athena. And, well, listen, I'll tell you this, too. In my teens and 20s, I smoked a lot of pot.
Yes.
It was a great time.
Yeah.
And then I stopped smoking pot.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then pot became legal in Canada. And so
recently.
I was sitting there at lunch on the day that it became legal, and I'm like, 20-year-old me would be so mad if I didn't.
Yeah.
So I ordered some from the government online because I could.
They mailed me a little package
of joints.
I want to do that too.
Joints.
Of free
like
rolls.
Joints.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because you can buy them like there's a five. You can buy different, obviously, brands and stuff.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I've been like, I'm going to do it eventually because just the idea that I can get a little package that I open up like a pack of cigarettes and it has
like a little pack of
four
smokes.
Or five joints pre rolled.
Just like
for
I always,
in
we
it.
Talked about when we were stoned when we were 20.
Yeah.
And so they sent me that in the mail. And it sat around for a while.
Yeah.
But then I was like, I have to know. I went for the real high CBD, real low THC.
Yeah,
You know. And I had like
Wait,
one.
What?
So CBD and THC are the different things in weed. I'll just say things. But basically, CBD is won't get you like physically like I'm stoned, I'm seeing things and shit, that's THC. So if it has high THC, you'll get very like affected
THC
by it.
THC is like the active psychotic and CBD is
more
like
the
body chill and whatever.
Okay. It's almost
how
like
does,
an anti-inflammatory.
How does BBD work into this?
they're poison.
Yeah. You don't want any BBD.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, that joint is poison. I had like this, and I was such a little baby about it. I was terrified of it because I smoked so long, and I had just like this tiny little one and put on The Predator.
Yeah.
And I watched The Predator with Athena, and I was really, I was in. I'm like, this is kind of crazy and fun and a little bit. I'm like, nice. I think I'm on board for this.
Yeah.
And we're watching, and I'm a little stoned watching, so yeah. I'm like, la, 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 la. And then Athena's like, am I crazy, or is there some, like, kind of cuckoo bananas going on with this movie? And I'm like, I think you're right. Yeah. It is kind of, it's like Predator the comedy.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of zingers and stuff like that going on. It's like a, like Shane Black thing when it gets a little off the chain.
Okay.
And then there's a lot of stuff like... it's not the 80s, man. Those jokes don't work no more. Don't do that.
Oh, no.
Not too far, but enough that I was like, come on. Yeah. Think of something else. Yeah. Anything else.
Yeah.
And in about a half an hour in is when I got bored. And all that compounded with the board was, you've seen in the trailer, there's the Predator, but then there's a bigger Predator.
Yeah, yeah.
The Jaws 3 technique.
Yeah.
And the bigger Predator looks terrible.
Oh, great.
It looked awful. I don't like the design, and there's a lot of crummy CGI going on. And they fucked up, because I was into it when it was the first. It's just a fucking guy. They got a really big guy, but it's a guy, so it works.
So it's like a CGI big monster guy?
Yeah, it's a big monster guy. He's like 11 feet tall. And it's too big. That doesn't make me more scared. Now I'm out of the movie entirely.
Silly.
Yeah, and it's like I was on board for the comedy vibe, and then the outrageous violence of this Predator running, and it's a dude. And I was like, practical effects, wicked. I'm in it. Sterling K. Brown's in this movie, and he's very good in it.
Awesome.
And Boyd Holbrook's like he's a solid lead, and he was holding it down too. It's like there's like a half an hour of like I'm having a good fucking time. This is a good crazy Shane Black, Fred Decker, fucking the monster mash going on here, and then it just like the fucking next 45 minutes or whatever is just like just fucking wrap it up.
That sucks.
You guys suck. And then the ending is I'm like what? What are we going for here? I don't want to see this movie. They're bitching for me next. I don't like where this button at the end here. No good.
Is there a real question mark at the end?
No, it's not a question mark. It's just like, and next we'll do this. I'm like, no, you don't.
Next time, three Predators?
Yeah. The third one's even bigger.
The third one's really small.
Yeah. That's the next one's called The Three Predators.
Yeah. Three Predators and a baby.
And her predators.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
It is a bummer. And the Predator dogs or whatever, garbage. They look stupid.
What?
Dogs. Oh, you didn't hear about that?
No.
Or in the trailers? They had them in the trailers, too.
They
look stupid. They do a really dumb thing with them.
Predator
the one
dogs?
Says bud, the third one, the second one says wise,
and the third one goes wada,
of course.
Yeah.
Damn it. That's a bummer.
Sucky, dumb, garbage shit.
Predator,
Oh, what a fucking bummer.
Not even government weed could say that.
Government weed.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Weird.
Casey.
Are the little joints rolled like little joints? Do they look like little cigarettes? What do they look like?
They're kind of like a little bit of a bat. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'll show you. Yeah. Super weird.
It blows my mind. Yeah, I mean, totally. Like, I'm like, oh, that's, you know, it's nice kind of thing. And I do remember, like, when you know, in
like,
high
someday.
School or college or something like that. Oh, man, imagine if you could go down to the store and just buy a pack of joints. Yeah.
You can't go down to the store, but the government will mail it to you.
Yeah.
It's very bizarre.
It's all too scary for me now. Too scary. Too much to do.
One of the things you had to do was watch Slenderman, directed by Sylvan White. In a small town in Massachusetts, four high school girls perform a ritual in an attempt to debunk the lore of Slenderman. When one girl goes missing, they suspect that she is his latest victim.
Oh.
I was kind of excited about you having to watch this because it gave me a reason to be like, I'll watch it and then we'll be able to talk about it on the show because I kind of had a weird interest in seeing what the fuck this movie is.
Yeah.
But then I didn't watch it.
Well, let me tell you, because I didn't see Zesperia.
You watched it too?
I watched it too.
Oh, wonderful.
Wow. Yeah. Damn. Really?
I should have.
That makes me feel a lot better because watching this movie, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to talk about this movie because it's not a movie.
No.
Well, you know, I guess it's a movie in that the images move in front of your face, it's not a story.
No, it certainly isn't. Although somebody wears a fishbone shirt.
That was like, I was like, wow, I can't wait to tell Greg about this.
It's the best part of the fucking movie.
Hands down. Yeah. I thought that would blow your fucking mind.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good one, too. It's a nice shirt.
Yeah, it's a great shirt.
Yeah.
I think you have that one.
No, that's I've seen it. It's on their website. Mm. It's got a nice color combo on the rings and the fish. Anyway, Fishbone.
Fishbone. Fishbone's great.
Yeah,
this movie
check out Fishbone.
First off, I will say the whole concept of Slender Man, I think, is hilarious because he's like, if you think about it, he's a slender man.
Yeah.
He's just it's like a body type and then a man.
Yeah.
He's a slender man.
Yeah.
I have a question about this movie. So is this movie a like telling-esque, a retelling-esque of the story of like this character, or is it piggybacking off the true story thing that happened?
No.
Okay, wait.
It's like, are you vaguely aware of what happens in the ring, and also vaguely aware of the Candyman, and also vaguely aware of, what's that, Bye Bye Man.
Yes.
Yes, and also are you vaguely aware of the fact that sometimes teenagers do things with zero motivation.
Okay, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And the consequences are completely unclear.
Okay.
And then... Spooky Hospital.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, sure.
So there's nothing in this movie, but like it has nothing to do
there's
with the
nothing
truth.
In this movie.
Because I was under the impression that it was maybe going to have something to do. I heard like, oh, it's tasteless or something because it has something to do with the two girls who like were inspired by Slenderman to murder like their friend or whatever.
No, nobody murders
anybody. I don't know that anything happens to anybody.
No.
I don't know what the Slenderman is. If I didn't know and I didn't know what the Slenderman was before this movie.
Yeah.
I didn't really know what the lore was or anything. Yeah. What his motivation was, why he wears a suit. I didn't know any of this.
You know, he wants to look professional.
Yeah, but like, what does he? Is
it's
he
a
just,
job. I take the job seriously.
You know? Dress for the job you want. I don't want to be a Slenderman.
I want to be a businessman. Any businessman will do.
I want to be upper to middle management.
That's so funny.
But for right now. I gotta snatch a teen or two to make ends meet.
Only if they watch my vid, you know. Upvote if you can. Please hit like at the bottom of the Slender Man page.
And this
Slender Man appreciates it.
This is hit subscribe. This is what I don't get. So is Slenderman does he live in the computer?
Or the woods. Is he a tree or
Or is he just waiting for you to be a tree? Because eventually...
Is that what happens in this movie?
He turns people into trees? Eventually. Like, it's really weird because you know how a movie will do a thing like where like they'll set up something and then they'll show you a computer screen and it'll be like somebody's medical records or something and you'll be like, oh shit, that's why that happened. Yeah. This movie does that where they'll show a computer screen with medical records or something and you'll be like, is somebody in the hospital? Why? Like, what does this have to do with anything? Like, there will be these huge reveals, and you're like, I don't know what they're revealing, and I don't know who Allison is. Is she a new person? I didn't know who anyone was, by the way.
I knew the one girl was named, they kept on calling her Allie, and then the internet name that's talking to them was Allie Cat, and I'm like, is that supposed to be her? And then, like, it's a reveal that it was her, and I'm like, well, yeah, it's the same name. You should have changed the name. Why didn't you change? What?
I gotta say, this is a huge reveal for me. Because I couldn't grasp anybody's names because nobody
was... they said hers a lot. I don't know any of the other names, but hers, they were like yelling it all the time. Because she's the lead and she's so like disinterested in being in the movie.
Oh, yeah. She's the one who seemed like... she was very aware that she was in a movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And the
was
dark
waiting
hair
for it to
one?
Be over. Yeah.
Was she the dark hair one?
I think they all were.
Yeah.
She's the one that she turns into a tree.
Oh, tree. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, with the sister. She's the one that has a sister. In the whole movie, she's like, no, I don't think so.
So she's the one who goes and makes out with that guy.
Yeah.
And then...
And he's like, oh!
Yeah, I think he needed to be in the know for that. But
there was a lot of shaky face.
Yeah. Oh God!
You know the thing where like you know it's scary because the camera speeds up and the head goes like that.
That's scary.
There's a ton of that. Sorry to scare you guys.
It's freaky.
There's a ton of that. And then, I just didn't know what was happening at any given time because I'm like, it's like four of the same girl.
Yeah.
And one of them's gone, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't understand what the Splenderman. I don't
know. Splenderman.
Yeah.
He brings you sugar first.
He's like, I just want something of a coffee.
I don't understand the tree thing. I don't feel like that's been a part. I mean,
here's the thing. Sometimes they're in the woods.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Trees. Okay.
Yeah, trees are in the woods.
That's where the trees are, if you're not careful.
Yeah, yeah.
Trees are in the woods, and if you're not careful, sometimes you're a tree.
In the woods, in the tree.
Whoa. Hey, you guys both got these little things on the back of your phone here.
Yeah.
Is
that always on there? Do you put it in your pocket like that?
Yeah.
Does that make you crazy? Isn't that too much in your pocket?
I love having this
little pops
in your pocket?
Yeah, it's fine.
It's so big. Like that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought it was out the whole time.
No.
It's a
pop socket.
Pop socket.
I got mine for free at work.
So what is it for holding your phone?
Yeah,
is that the idea?
For holding your phone.
I'm playing a game or something with one hand and it's not going to fall out.
Yeah.
You drop your phone a lot?
It
helps.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it's fine.
Or like if Emma falls asleep on my other arm, I can like on the couch, I'm like still be able to do stuff and not drop it.
Yeah.
More interesting than Slenderman.
Honestly, it is. Yeah. I thought we were going to find out what the Slenderman was why he was what he was.
I think one of the things about the myriad of stories of Slenderman is that I think they intentionally don't tell you anything about him because it's like they've never actually created like a true backstory to the character.
Yeah. It's also really hard to think of something cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It takes a lot of time.
Yeah, time that
these guys didn't have.
No.
Yeah. One thing that was my favorite one of the funniest things about this movie is one of the girls goes missing. Mm-hmm. I think her name was Katie.
Mm-hmm.
Because they show...
Not Katie.
They show the computer... And like the APB that goes out for Katie, and it just says missing Katie, missing since 1 p.m.
And I was like, which Katie?
Yeah.
It says
we only have one Katie.
Since 1 p.m.
Mm.
Oh, I love it so much. Yeah, there's absolutely nothing in this movie except for at the end, the movie goes like, the Slenderman. That's what he wants. He wants you to click like, and he wants you to research him online.
Yeah.
Because that's how a virus grows.
The virus thing to throw into it.
Yeah, and I was
so
like,
he's a computer virus too.
Yeah, yeah.
Lawnmower man as well.
Yeah,
yeah.
But not,
and he also does that fancy Dr. Octopus move running through the forest.
Yeah, which the only thing that I thought looked even mildly cool was like, okay, I guess he's a big spider now.
Yeah,
good enough.
Mm-hmm.
but then at the end I'm like, are we doing a little social commentary here? Mm-hmm. You have to click like and you have to watch him on your screens and like watch his video and stuff, and that's how he lives. And I'm like,
well, that's part, like, I feel like they're trying to get at like the actually interesting thing about him in real life. There's a documentary about that case where the kids tried to murder their friend or whatever.
Right.
But the only thing that's like kind of interesting about it is how it has like gone from just like a weird internet story that was just like a spooky story to like thing. The fake story on the internet has become like a real folklore to like younger people who... It was always something that people talked about when they grew up because they were born like in whatever, like 2000 something.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting that like that idea of, because it was something that was spoken of on the internet when these younger kids were growing up, it has become its own version of like that kind of urban legend thing.
Yeah.
There's like an interesting thing there. It just sounds like they did it with like, hit subscribe, baby. Like, that's
but
dumb.
They could have done something with it. Like, it's so unclear. if that was the point that they were trying to make, nobody's on the computer too much. And like in
no,
this movie,
no,
to
not
get
very
like,
much at all.
To yeah. get their comeuppance through the computer or whatever. It's a nothing movie. I didn't even hate this movie.
Yeah.
There's nothing. Just a fucking void.
Yeah. And wonderful. I felt like the thing, like the ring was like, watch the tape and then
you'll die.
Then you'll die. Cool. Saw the tape, the phone call, 7 days. Fuck. And this one, it's like you watch the video and the video is like, welcome to the hero, the instructions for the video. You'll hear a bell, then you close your eyes. Keep your eyes closed. There will be another bell. Do not open your eyes for this bell. Wait until for third bell. Eyes open.
Yeah.
It's like, please follow these instructions precisely or your Slender Man will not fully bake.
Or you will end up with a big fat man.
Yeah.
That's not what
not
you want.
Not so Slender Man. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
The rotund man.
Yeah.
He's not as frightening. He will stay on your couch.
He's much slower.
He's going through a period, okay? He needs some time in a couch. Just let him crash.
But that was the thing. Like, somebody would disappear, and I'd be like, I guess they're gone or whatever, but I don't know what happened to them. Yeah. And then the movie goes, listen, don't worry about it.
And they're a tree now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we see that you followed your original Slender Man instructions. Now you'll go to the forest for new Slender. No, okay, eyes closed again. No opening. If you open them, we can't promise your Slender Man will be specifically as ordered.
If you open them this time, there's going to be too many Slender Men.
Yeah.
Because they don't do the second thing right in the woods. They all open their eyes.
No, they all
like,
open
their poor?
And also, they had to
is
bring
good
something.
Or bad?
They had to bring something that they love to sacrifice, and they bring like pottery and clothes. And I'm like, the Slenderman wants your pottery
and a picture of your dad.
Yeah.
And then he's going to put it on his cubicle when he becomes a businessman.
And they've all been like so like they've been like a tight little group or whatever. And then the one friend throws like a real dig at the other one when they bring their stuff. She's like, I brought this picture of my dad. I brought this thing I made. She's like, I brought this thing of my grandma's. And she's like, psh, thought you would have brought one of your trophies.
Yeah.
Like, what? Does she have trophies? I don't know. I wasn't even aware of her
that goes
being
nowhere.
Awarded trophies.
Huh? Yeah. Like, oh, I thought you were going to bring one of your trophies or whatever. We don't know that she's a trophy winner.
Yeah. Is that all she loves? This has not been established at all. Now it seems like you're a dick.
And then it's let go completely.
Yeah, it never comes back again.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Slenderman has been fun, but I got to tell you guys, we got to hurry up.
Why?
And hang around.
Oh.
God.
The album by Blues Traveler.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I forgot about this. And
we
then on my way here, I was
hurry
delighted.
Up.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, hurry up.
Yeah.
And hang around.
Hang around. Not too long, because Daddy's got to go a-gigging. Because there's a wolf a-bumping at the
Daddy,
door.
Well, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Listen, this is horrible.
Yeah.
And it sounds just like it always sounds. And it sounds like it was produced in 1998.
Wow.
It has that same drum sound.
Yeah.
And I was listening to it, and I'm like, I cannot believe how big this kind of stuff was.
I know.
For a little while there.
What was the album they had with the cat on the cover?
I don't know. That
cool
one.
Cat.
It was called
Kitty
Four.
Cat.
And it goes, hey, you want to hear me to her?
Yep.
Yeah.
With a little bit like a with the harmonica. Oh my God. I don't know who this could possibly be for. Would somebody still listen to this? Like somebody like, oh, new blues, new BT.
You guys.
I'm busy with my life. I'm driving around in my Subaru Forester. But
new BT.
I can get back in the mood. I can sprinkle a little patchouli in my hair and
I got to get in my PT cruiser.
Yeah.
And listen to BT.
Yeah.
Loser.
Oh, my God. It sucks. It's got the worst kind of little, like, funky.
Just funky blues.
Yeah. It's that same thing of, like that mid-gross period. Like, after the Bare Naked Ladies got really big, how all their junk sounded. And this. And, like, Jack Johnson. And even like Sugar Ray, who is like kind of like a weird heavy band, is like, we're like, well, now we're this too.
Yeah.
Like, this is big. Like, this is the sound that everyone really liked, and it's so fucking horrible.
Funky riffs.
Terrible. Yeah.
Like, if you listen to like check, this, check, it sounds so 1998. If you listen, like, the way the drums are recorded.
I got to tell you, I did not listen to a minute of this.
Well, have you ever heard a Blues Traveler song?
Yes.
Yeah, well, it's like the...
Here's fucking 12 of them.
Yeah, which is basically like 45 minutes of one song.
Yeah.
But it's occasionally slower and occasionally funkier.
Yeah.
Does he play a lot of harmonicas?
Yeah, it's there.
He does the thing.
Yeah,
he does.
It sounds just like it always did. Fucking, he's got his signature sound.
He's a doctor, you guys.
I know, yes.
Is his signature... Like, was he the first person to do, like, a little bit of an overmodulated... is that all that is?
I don't know.
Because I feel like there's not actually a signature sound. It's just like they've got it a little distorted. So Daddy went to gigging, and it's like a little bit of an edge on that harmonica.
And the Daddy went to gigging is the one like, sorry, I wasn't around while you were being raised. One of those. Like, come on, man. This is the, you know, I'm sorry to the lady. I wasn't, you know, I was a daddy at a gigging.
Sorry to the lady?
And the kid, the mommy and the lady. Sorry to both of them. And listen, it's no Beth. It's no work to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mommy, daddy's gonna gigging.
It's too up-tempo. Yeah. All of it is gross. This is a gross,
bad,
fucking hacky sack of dog shit.
Yeah. Boo.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm so sorry to harsh your mellow like that.
Are you going
to
harsh it again with whatever you're giving us?
Well, I don't think so.
Okay.
Because I had two choices. I had to narrow down to two choices this week.
But Daddy,
you know how I love when, you know, a hilarious band puts out a new album.
Yeah.
And there's one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Hanson has a new album.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine how great that is. So I'm giving you guys a choice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we get to pick?
Yes.
That's like when you shave somebody's only one of their eyebrows off, forcing them.
Yeah.
No, it's not
shaving
actually eyebrow.
Themselves. Or
this is like the choice between shaving off both of your eyebrows and then giving you a lovely new set of eyebrows.
Okay.
Because there's the new Hanson album.
Yeah.
You got to wonder what that's like, and that's probably gonna be fun.
I bet there's some blues. Betcha.
Oh yeah. But there's also a new Jay Mascis album.
Yes, oh, I've already listened to that.
Yeah.
Well, that was going to be option B because that's going to be a legitimately great album. I assume it's Jay Mascis.
It is good stuff.
What do you guys want? You guys want Hanson or Jay Mascis?
Well, I've heard the Jay Mascis as well, so that's
so
not
Hanson
much work.
It is.
I mean, I'm down for not doing any work.
No,
listened
you
to
guys
it.
Have both listened to the Jay Mascis album.
No,
you're
I'm,
right.
Who's
you're
Jay Mascis?
Right.
I've never. Yeah. Oh, a new album by a Jay man. I'm in.
Yeah, yeah. I love Jay man.
I love Jay man. Yeah.
Well, the Jay man you'll be listening to this week. Jansen.
You didn't give us a choice, though. You just said...
You just said, well, we both listened to it, so...
I was saying, well, we both listened to it, so we can form easy opinions. We'll do that.
Yeah, that's not what I heard, so listen to Hanson.
That's like you asked us if we wanted our eyebrows shaved off.
And then
we
you
were
poked
like,
our eyes out.
Yeah. Yeah. And we were like, well, we both shaved our beards, and you're like, eyebrows are gone!
I threatened to shave off your eyebrows. And then I shaved off your pubes. I don't know how that applies.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
This one's probably not even produced by the Dust Brothers, like their big one was.
I can't say for sure. It's probably produced by their dad or something. Well, they're all, 40 now?
Yeah, probably. I hope it's amazing.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah.
Well, manager, I guess, at work, is just a fucking wonderful guy.
Yeah.
Like, totally love him. But he has the oddest taste in music. Like, he and his girlfriend traveled to Buffalo to go watch a Goo Goo Dolls concert.
Whoa. Travel for the goo.
Yeah.
Ew. Gotta go to the goo.
Yeah.
Gotta get that goo.
Yeah.
Well, now it's time to roll.
Mm-hmm.
And we discussed earlier that it would be a winner's choice because there's 2 weeks coming up and both have releases that look great. Three releases that look great.
Yeah.
Widows is supposed to be phenomenal, the new Steve McQueen. Ralph Breaks the Internet is supposed to be a delight. And Creed 2.
Creed 2.
So, winner's choice.
Yeah.
And the Punishment film
begins.
What was the name of it?
The Christmas... Shitbox.
Yeah,
yes.
What's the name of it?
Let me find it.
This one is called Christmas Shitbox.
Yeah.
is about a magical box full of shit.
Santa's summer house. Which, what the fuck already?
It's got a dog.
And it's
even
got
the toughest action stars in the world have a soft spot in their heart for Christmas.
Yes, because Gary Daniels, fucking amazing, and Cynthia fucking Rothrock, also amazing in this movie with Chris Mitchum, American Hunter himself.
Yeah.
And it's directed by David Dakota, so you know half of it will take place in David Dakota's house.
Oh, man.
And the dog will hopefully be a talking dog,
and
much like a talking
not
cat.
Eric Roberts, I... Fucking
yeah!
So this is going to be wonderful.
Interesting selection of crud action stars.
Totally.
This is the Christmas Expendables of E-list action people.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So let's go and roll. I will go first and roll.
Okay. What do you got?
One.
Oh,
one. Nice. I'm going to go.
Press the little button.
Five.
Yay!
Oh, Greg.
Three.
Well, fuck.
Dakuto.
Dakuto.
Does he have more Christmas movies? If it is,
he's got to have a lot of Christmas
movies. Maybe we'll try and make it a whole Dakuto Christmas.
Yeah. A merry Dakuto Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Okay, well, next.
I mean, some of it's got to be gay porn, right?
Well, next week we'll talk about David Dakota's film, Christmas Santa Summer Home, whatever it was
Christmas
called.
Shitbox.
Yeah. We will. Look at this. 2017, he made A Christmas Cruise. In 2017, he also made A Royal Christmas Ball. In 2017, he also made My Christmas Grandpa. In 2017, he also made Runaway Christmas Bride.
What?
In 2016, he
Hold
made
on,
a husband
can we back
for Christmas.
Up to My Christmas Grandpa.
That's a short, unfortunately. That's a short.
Holy fuck!
Yeah, 2016, husband for Christmas. Oh, he took a break for Christmas. That was the first one in a while.
God.
Yeah, that. Yeah, he's been on a tear recently.
Holy
of Christmas
shit!
Movies. Yeah.
How misguided do you think Husband for Christmas is
delivering Christmas? Oh, it's a short too.
Yeah.
Runaway Christmas Bride.
That's awesome. Because it's just the movie
Runaway Bride with the word Christmas added into it.
A Husband for Christmas.
She's like, I'm a runaway Christmas bride on that cover.
Holy
I'm
shit.
Run away.
He has a movie called Asian Ghost Story.
Oh, no.
Oh. Oh, Dakota, you're the best.
Yes, I love you.
Holy fuck.
Awesome. 666 Creepy Carrie.
He's a movie called Bigfoot versus D.B. Cooper.
Yeah. I've heard about that on the podcast Eric Roberts is the Fucking Man. Because Eric Roberts is in that.
My tradition of making this mistake, I'm still going to call it Bigfoot versus D.B. Sweeney.
Hey, he has another... obviously, a long time listeners know where you did A Talking Cat.
Yeah.
A long time ago. But there's A Talking Pony as well.
Oh, my God.
From the same year.
Did we do that? I feel like we...
I didn't see A Talking...
I think we talked about it, but I don't think we watched it.
It's going to have to happen. Hey, he's got an Easter movie.
Oh.
An Easter Bunny puppy.
Let's just watch every David Dakota movie ever, and then
we're changing gears on this.
Podcast.
There's another exclamation point mark movie called My Stepbrother is a Vampire.
Didn't we watch that? Oh no, I watched My Dog is a Vampire.
Yeah.
Holy fuck. Yes.
Bless you, Dakota.
Three different movies that involve question marks and exclamation points in the title.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he does commentary for most of them as well if you buy the DVD.
Holy fuck.
Yeah.
I don't know why we're not a David Dakota.
I don't know either. I'm looking at that.
Appreciation podcast.
Oh, I just hit the porno section of his IMDb.
Well,
here.
I mean, porno's a strong word. It's just guys in tidy whiteys taking really long showers with no nudity.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, next week we'll talk about that David Dakota movie. We'll talk about that album. We will talk about the movies that we watch next episode. And
he's directed under a bunch of fake names.
Oh, yeah, a bunch of... He's,
Jack Reed, Julian Breen.
Sometimes he's like a Mary something.
Yeah. Mary is... I saw that one. I don't know where it went. Mary Crawford.
The one I'm watching is
that's
a Mary.
That's something. A movie called Magic Puppy.
Oh, wonderful. Sounds magical.
Yeah. Oh, it has a secondary title, The Great Halloween Puppy.
Oh.
Oh, man. Why do we do anything? Oh, yeah. Oh, Santa Summer House is as Mary Crawford.
Yes, yeah. Wonderful.
Oh, fuck, man.
Can't wait.
Dakota.
Yeah.
The greatest.
As always, we will see you next Wednesday. Goodbye, Internet. There's a big life-size red stiletto heel at the end of every David Dakota.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.